Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mothership has connected.
And you the man, PDA.
America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Des Moines to Dover, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Oh, boy, do we have a show for you. Coming up this morning on the program, we'll talk SEC Media Days with our friend Tom Hart, the voice of the Saturday night marquee SEC Network college football game. From SEC Media Days, Tom Hart's going to join us 2 hours from now. So top of hour number three. Also, not one, but two mystery guests in honor of Mraz's final week. Two. We've called it the Mraz Chronicles, going back through his life and career here at CBS Sports Radio. Two. Number one comes your way next hour. Number two comes your way in the final hour. Whoa. It's also a Trash Tuesday. Tuesday. So you can bring us your trashes, what it is that is bothering you. And we'll do that over the course of this morning as well. In 20 minutes, the NBA gets a brand new number one broadcast team for the NBA Finals. And in 40 minutes, Brent Venables is picking fights. But we begin with the running backs yesterday. Yesterday, 4 o'clock Eastern time was the deadline to sign long-term deals or take that franchise tag and like it. So, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, and Josh Jacobs all in the same boat. They didn't want to have to take the franchise tag, a one-year deal at $10 million. They'd rather have long-term deals and longer-term security, more guaranteed money. They did not get it. None of them signed a long-term extension. Add that to Austin Eckler, who wanted a long-term deal from the Chargers, or trade me. He didn't get that either. And nobody wanted to trade for him. And the other running backs around the NFL that also found themselves staring at a brick wall. And so what's the lesson in the running backs getting stiffed? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
From a player's aspect, we have no control of that. I have no control. So really who we want answers from is the ownership. Like, why are you doing this? What's the reasoning? Like, give us, like, you aren't interviewing them about it. Like, how many owners have you talked to about this? You know, zero. For whatever reason, right, they got this thing going on where it's like a new trend. Let's not pay these guys. I don't know. Maybe they're just testing us. Like, hey, let's see what happens. But, you know, you poke the bear, you know, and, you know, you're going to make us have to do something.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right. That was Austin Eckler on with Zach Gelb. Evenings here on CBS Sports Radio. So the solution for running backs is they've got to band together and their agents have to band together and they have to have some type of movement or statement in unison. I heard Pablo Torre mention this, and maybe they need a sub-union within the union because one position and one position only is getting squeezed and all of these guys are going to keep losing. And that's the lesson here, is that if you are a running back and you want more, quit wishing. It's not happening. And I think all of these guys, specifically Saquon Barkley, specifically made a mistake yesterday. Specifically Saquon. I think if you're Saquon and you were a couple of million dollars away from what the Giants offer was, Big Blue, I think you take it. If you're quibbling over a handful of millions of dollars, you just take it. Now, if you're tens of million dollars apart, okay. But here's why you take it. Because for Josh Jacobs, for Saquon Barkley, and for Tony Pollard, who had to accept the franchise tags yesterday, if their grand dream is, fine, we'll eat it this year, and then a year from now, we're free agents, and we'll show you. Well, the team can franchise you again. Or you're a year older. And every year that lapses for a running back, you become less desirable. You know, it's like a woman feeling her age and she's still single. Going, every year I get older, I feel like I get farther away from getting married. If you're a running back, it doesn't help you to let a year elapse and then try it again. So to me, all of these running backs should have just taken the deal that was put in front of them instead of taking this one-year deal because, well, yes, you can say, well, they're betting on themselves. Fine, but you're betting on yourself at a violent position, at a position of the NFL where injuries are commonplace. And so, sure, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, and Tony Pollard could go out and have career years, just like Jacobs had last season, and rush for 1,600 yards and 15 touchdowns and make All-Pro. But that also doesn't necessarily make you more enticing to the next team because they look at you and say, you got used up last year. You're a year older. That's less carries for us. So, if I'm an agent there or I'm those running backs, I hammer home. Look, we either move in unison to try to create some pressure, and you heard Eckler mention it there, that they're trying to force us to do something. But what is there to do? That they're going to hold out? Because here is the next point. Sure, Saquon Barkley can hold out just like Le'Veon Bell and say, I'm not reporting then. I'll hold out the year and I'll hit the free agent market a year from now. But again, does that help him because he's a year older and the Le'Veon Bell precedent didn't work? The Jets spent a ton of money on Le'Veon Bell after he sat out that full season for the Steelers, and he was crap. And then he just had a Instagram video over the weekend where he apologized to Steelers fans for leaving and said, that was a mistake. I made a mistake. So your precedent doesn't help you here. Secondly, running backs are victims of their own success. Why are teams doing this? Because they go, if we don't have Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, and Josh Jacobs, yes, we lose a good player, but we think we can find another good player. Two of those guys were in this draft, okay? I'm sorry, the 2019 draft. And here's where the running backs got picked. Jacobs went in the first round, 24th overall to the Raiders. He was the only first round running back. Miles Sanders went in the second round, 53rd overall. Tony Pollard went in the fourth round, 128th overall. For the Cowboys, you don't think they go? We just paid Ezekiel Elliott boatloads of cash, and we found his replacement in the fourth round. We're not going to then spend a boatload of cash on the fourth round guy because we can find his replacement in the fourth round. That's the bit here. You usually can't find your franchise quarterback in the fourth round, and you are waiting forever to find a franchise QB. At running back, as long as you take a few running backs every year, or one running back every year, or one running back every couple of years, you'll usually find one no matter where you pick them. Miles Sanders was a second-round pick. The Eagles said, yeah, we're not going to spend free agent money on you, and he goes to the Carolina Panthers. Because the Eagles go, and we can find Miles Sanders in the second round or the third round or the fourth round because we just found Miles Sanders in the second round. Elsewhere in that draft, David Montgomery went in the third round of the Bears. Devin Singletary went in the third round to the Bills. Damian Harris went in the third round of the Patriots. Are any of those guys a huge drop-off from Miles Sanders or Tony Pollard in those same situations? Now, Saquon Barkley might be a unique talent, a guy that has thighs the size of tree trunks, and a guy that can run for power and speed and break off big plays. But guess what? The Giants didn't win anything with Saquon Barkley. He was a non-entity. Last year, certainly they were at their best with him, but they also know that he's been injury prone. So the bulk of investing the number two overall pick in the draft in your running back fielded you one playoff win. Again, that return is not worth it. So the point here is that the running backs are victims of their own success. Because they've been good and they have not been the number two overall pick like Josh Jacobs, like Tony Pollard, teams go, well, we can find you again. And when you are really successful and they ride you, by the back end of that, they go, well, we just used you. So we don't really need you anymore. We need the next guy to put the saddle on. There, it's a no-win for running backs, and they need to understand that, and their agents need to understand that, and they just need to take the best deal that they got and quit playing games, because these franchise tags, a year from now, they're not in any better situation to sign a longer-term deal. If I were their agents, I would say, take the money! The money!
It's about the money! M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Now, we can't actually say the city of the team that Saquon Barkley didn't come to an agreement with. We can just simply say, big boo. And we can't really say the radio station that Mraz will move to discuss this type of thing at length every day because there's a boycott, which we will address over the course of today's show. But I did see you tweet, Mraz, that you were happy that Big Blue did not get caught in the problems that previous regimes had with this situation. What do you mean?
Well, I mean that all these other teams are handling running backs the same way. So if you're not going to be in a bidding war with anybody, if you let that player go, then don't outbid out of loyalty and respect, because that's how you screw up your NFL salary cap, by not allocating the resources the right way. Saquon Barkley, for that team that happens to play in New Jersey, is now going to
be...
The
Garden State.
Yes, is now going to be, with this $10 million, total in his career, the third highest amount of money made of any current active running back in the NFL. Now you tell me, in comparison to your peers, he's been hurt a lot. Is making the third most money over the course of the last 6 years of anybody who's still active in the NFL at your position... Is that the poor line in comparison to your peers? It's not. So it sucks. I feel bad for him that he can't get a long-term deal. But that's the nature of the business. And it's not as if he was some sixth round player that got paid $500K all these years and they ran him into the ground. He was drafted second overall and had the fortune of making that kind of money in a rookie deal that other running backs don't make. So I feel less bad for him.
That's been a weird part of this as well, that the media has acted as though these guys have been wronged. And I don't feel that way. Number one, the franchise tag pays you the average of the top three salaries at your position.
Yes.
Wouldn't we all like to be paid the average of the three highest paid people in the country at our position? That would be very nice. But number two, you know, as you said, it's like, should we feel bad that they're not getting taken care of if they've made a lot of money already based on their rookie deal? He was drafted number two overall.
Right.
I don't think that empathy or feeling bad for these guys really gets you anywhere. And I don't really think it's necessary because it's just all part of the economics of the game.
Exactly. And it should be noted in Barkley's case, he turned down an in-season deal, two of them.
He did.
Where $13 million a year on average for at least the next 3 years was offered. Okay, including more guarantees. So you're talking about upwards of close to, when you start doing the math, 27, 28 guaranteed dollars. Everyone to figure that out. Well, look, you did a bad job. You misplayed your hand. You thought that you were going to be different than other running backs, and you weren't. So how can I feel bad for you when you could have made double and nearly triple of what you're going to make this year over the course of the next 2 or 3 years because you wanted to get to this point, knowing the franchise tag was likely? He got bad advice.
It was a mistake, but they're all getting bad
right.
advice. All of these running backs thought they were worth more, or the agents thought that they were worth more than they are.
And I can't take Derrick Henry seriously on Twitter last night. Maybe we'll just take the running back position out of the game then if we're not worth it. I mean, again, another guy, you're making a ton of money. You're still making a lot of money. I'm sorry that you're not getting the long-term security. But you're another player that's making a ton. These are not the guys we should be fighting for. A guy like Alvin Kamara that was a third-rounder, he did get paid. But if somebody like that got ran through the ground and didn't get the salary, okay, I'll have that argument. I'll hear it more with Austin Eckler. I can't hear it for Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley.
But it's also at-will employment as well. It's not like they're being forced to play running back. If the moment they get drafted into the NFL, they're like, I'm not playing running back. Change my position. Oh, that'd be one thing. They're actively coached to be a running back. They like being a running back. It gets them paid on a rookie deal to be a running back. And then they're wondering why there's no more money. Well, because the next you is coming. You didn't say no to the rookie deal. So the next rookie's not going to say no to the rookie deal. I think the bigger question is, why do Barkley and Pollard and Jacobs think it's going to change a year from now? Why wouldn't they just take whatever deal is out in front of them yesterday, unless it's just pure ego wanting to win the negotiation? Like for Barkley, a year from now, the Giants are going to give him a different deal.
Well, that's it. 26 to 27 is a big... The fact that they didn't give him it now shows that they wouldn't give it to him then. I agree. And guess what? If you want that longer-term deal, even if the Giants aren't going to give it to you, you have no choice but to stay healthy and play really well. So that still remains a win for the team in the end. So I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they're, you know, like you heard Austin Eckler to be in the clip, running backs think they could have their own sort of unionization within the union. I don't know what they think they can come up with, but buying time to figure that out for a year, maybe. But I'm with you. I don't think anything changes at all. And if they don't live up, any of those three guys get hurt and don't live up to it, well, then the team also looks like geniuses for not giving them the long-term deal.
The problem with all of these guys doing whatever they did yesterday, maybe they think in unison a year from now they can change the economics, the CBA, what have you. But their problem is it allows one more year of a rookie class for the Tony Pollards to happen. The fourth round guy that supplants the big guy that makes more money, and the team goes, okay, now you're our guy. It's not like this rookie class that's coming in won't have a Tony Pollard, a mid-round running back that ends up being very productive. It's not like you suddenly go, well, that position, I guess it doesn't exist anymore. Guys just still keep playing, and somebody's going to get 1,000 yards. Somebody's going to be productive in the red zone. Somebody's going to catch 50 passes out of the backfield. and they just become the next Tony Pollard and Josh Jacobs, et cetera.
Which is exactly why the morning after the draft, we came on here going, what are the Lions doing with Jahmyr Gibbs at 10th overall or whatever?
It's why every time I hear anybody bang the drum for the Falcons and Bijan Robinson, I'm going, you're lost. You're totally lost, because what's the absolute best case scenario? That the Falcons become a dark horse NFC contender over these next 4 years with Bijan Robinson on a rookie deal, and then they're forced to spend a monster contract on it because you can't afford to let him go after you've just had all of this success, and now you're hamstrung at the running back position and the rest of your roster because you're forced to spend that money, or Bijan Robinson is a great player on a bad team, or you just end up exactly where you are today 4 years from now when his rookie deal is up, having to just jettison him because he was used up and he was good, but you need to fill other positions. He might be great, but unless you're winning a Super Bowl with that guy, it doesn't really make any sense to invest a high round pick on a player that you can probably replace with a much less valuable draft position whenever that time comes. When we come back here on the show, you're going to have a new NBA Finals broadcast team, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Look, it's not nothing.
If you're telling me we found another planet that we could build, you know, a sandals on, sure, then there's something. Now you got up there, you're floating, you found a resort, there's a Maji, there's a whole thing. There's not much to do up there but look out the window.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Look out the window. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Trash Tuesday. You can listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border, as well as Sirius XM, Channel 158. Also, listen to us on the free Odyssey app and the free CBS Sports app. Going to be some changes. There's some changes coming around here as ESPN appears to be locking in a brand new NBA Finals team. Mike Breen, bang, will end up remaining as the voice of the NBA Finals and the number one team on ESPN calling NBA games. But we know that Jeff Van Gundy is out. He was one of the casualties of the firings, downsizing, salary cuts 2 weeks ago, so no Van Gundy. They're going to hire Doc Rivers to be the coach and then add Doris Burke to that broadcast team. And my vibe here is you won't miss a thing. I like Van Gundy. Van Gundy's salty. Van Gundy is say whatever comes into his mind. But I don't think former coaches or former athletes are irreplaceable on massive broadcasts. A regional broadcast where you really get to know that person, you have a connection to that person because you watch them on your team. Radio broadcast where there's an intimacy, that's a little different. On a massive national broadcast, if they swapped out Tony Romo for Boomer on the number one broadcast with Nance, nobody would blink. It'd be like, that's fine. And I think when it comes to this, the NBA Finals, Van Gundy out and Mark Jackson out and sliding Doc Rivers in, it'll be fine. Doc Rivers has done broadcasts before. He's been doing, you know, he's been a very visible coach. It's like the Tom Brady thing. Why Fox would spend $45 million a year on Tom Brady to call games is beyond me. And now Brady's probably not even going to do it. Because if Tom Brady took over for Greg Olson, would your lives be that much different? Would my life be that much different? Greg Olson's not a big name, but he was fine. Some people loved him, actually. If tomorrow they were like, nope, Fox's number one team is Tom Brady, it might sound like it's got pizzazz, but we'd get to the Super Bowl and the same amount of people would watch the NFC Championship game or to the Super Bowl. And might there be some people that actually prefer Greg Olson? Yeah. So it's just not that big a deal. I think it's fine. I mean, Doc Rivers, Jeff Van Gundy, it's probably a little bit of a minus. But you add Doris Burke, who ends up as a very smart, savvy basketball voice, and it's going to be fine. I think the big thing there is if you are ESPN and you're looking to shed salary, what you're doing is saying, okay, we're going to choose one of the two guys to keep as the number one team or get rid of completely. And so Van Gundy makes more money. He's out. We shift Mark Jackson somewhere else because just Breen and Mark Jackson needs a hyper energy guy along with him because he's so low energy. That's what Van Gundy was. Squeaky. Ah, Mike. Ah, Mark. But you take that out, Doc and Mark Jackson don't necessarily work together. It's a little bit redundant, two former coaches that might be slightly low energy, monotone at times. And so you get one of them out and you reassign Mark Jackson. Then you put Doris in there, who's got a more bubbly persona and maybe a little bit more energetic. And you're basically finding a cheaper way to solve the same problem. And it's going to be fine. Standing by, headlines this morning, kind sir, Andrew Bogish.
DA headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
And we'll go, no, we don't have next year's draft. We need a 2023. We're traded for seven round picks.
Important games at Camden Yards in mid-July are a good thing in general. Last night, though, not that good for the Orioles.
Swung on. It is to the left center field gap and deep. That ball's not going to be caught. It is gone. A grand slam for Chris Taylor gives the Dodgers the lead, 6-4.
That's from Dodgers Radio, and 6-4 would be the final in Baltimore thanks to Chris Taylor. There was some good news, though, for the Birds.
And the 1-1. That's way outside. He gets by. Here comes Smith. He scores standing up. The Rangers walk off the Rays in the opening game of this series on a wild pitch.
As heard on Rangers Radio, Texas, a 3-2 win thanks to that wild pitch. That keeps just one game between Tampa Bay and Baltimore atop the AL East.
Now, how about that? That the Rays jumped out to that ridiculous start to the season, and we are now into late July, and the Orioles are only a game back.
Baltimore had won 8 in a row before last night. Rays had a little bit of a slump before the All-Star break.
I kind of think the Orioles are the best team in the American League.
You do.
I do.
Like, the American League.
The American League.
Better than the Rangers.
The Rangers, I think, have completely stifled. You know, they've kept up because the Astros haven't fully prevailed. But pound for pound, that young lineup, too, maybe the Orioles could add a pitcher here. I think the Orioles are the best team in the American League. I really do. I think they could make a World Series.
Is that so?
I do. I really do believe that. I think they're flat out better than the Rays.
The Orioles have not made the World Series since 1983.
And I saw people yesterday working in Baltimore pushing for them to be involved in Ohtani because they have all of these prospects. Just rent Ohtani for 2 months. Hmm. You're not going to sign him. At this point, you're not paying full price for him anymore.
Jeez.
They got guys to burn. Why not take a swing?
Guys to burn like Pete's got days to burn?
Yeah.
Right. They have guys to burn because, I mean, they've now built this young, wonderful machine that should be really good for a while. Do you sacrifice some of those prospects?
Right.
That's a tough one for me.
That's the case why you trade him, because you're going to have a team like that that's going to go and break the bank for a 2 month rental. They have the prospects. They have the ability to do it. So a team like the Orioles is a perfect team for Ohtani.
But would you do it if you're pulling the trigger on the Orioles? I don't know if I would do it.
It means the same logic as to why the Rays apparently have sniffed around this. They know they're not going to sign him, and this is the time to pounce. It's not full price anymore.
Yep. No, I understand the logic. I just think if you are the Orioles, you just creaked open the door on what you hope is 6-8 years of a contender. And so to already start trading away chips when you've just started to have this era, I think I'd be hesitant on. The Rays might be a little different because they've sniffed the World Series. They were in the World Series. They were close, and they haven't been able to get there. And they always seem to be able to recharge. They have now a 15-year history of recharging. The Orioles don't. I would be more hesitant to give away my prospects if I'm the Orioles and I've gone through all of this awful years. Hang on. All these awful years, and now I'm fine. I love Mraz, but the one thing I will not miss is the panting at the microphone when he wants to jump in on a take. There's been, 10 years of the Orioles being dreadful. I don't know if I want to sacrifice my prospects. Mraz, what do you think?
Well, I was just going to say what I don't know, and I think what we probably all don't know is exactly what prospects they have position-wise that could be blocked by whether it's Gunnar Henderson or Adley Rutschman, where they're just kind of sitting there rotting. And the counterpoint I was going to bring up was, the Nats did this the year they shut down Strasburg or whatever. The American League may never be this wide open in the next decade for the Baltimore Orioles, despite the fact that they're building something where, who knows? I mean, the Rangers might continue to get really good. There might just be behemoths where the Orioles can't break through. It's easy to say they're going to have this big window, but maybe this is the most wide open a shot they'll ever have in October. So take your dart now.
Right. That's the thing, too. You can't account for next year. You don't know what's going to happen. And they've been so good at collecting talent. They've already got these guys at the major league level, and they're still sitting on Jackson Holliday, who might be the best of the bunch. Now, I don't think you trade him for Ohtani for 2 months. That's off the table. But they've got guys to burn here that they're not sacrificing all of the hard work that they've put in and changing the course of what their rebuild is.
I understand how enticing it is. If I'm the Orioles, I wouldn't do it because I want to keep stocked with all of this talent that I've done a good job collecting, to try to, and there's no guarantees, but try to guarantee my window to be long in case of injuries, in case a guy does start hot, start to falter, or if I can trade for somebody, I trade for somebody that I think I'm going to have for a longer time than just 2 months.
Now, I don't agree with Sean that they're the best team in the American League. I'm not even sure that they're better than the Rays, and they might feel, if they're being honest, that they're not that close. And that Ohtani, as good as he is, maybe is not the last piece like he might be in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Maybe they hold back on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still, they've got the ammo to make a trade like this.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's just for 2 months and that's it.
Yeah.
The Red Sox last night, 7-0 winners in Oakland with Nick Pivetta throwing 6 no innings, 13 Ks out of the bullpen. The Yankees a 4-3 loss in 10 at Anaheim. They were leading 3-1 of the seventh when Shohei Ohtani clubbed a 2-run homer, his 35th of the season. That's already more than last year. On NL grass, the Marlins skid hit 4-6-4 in St. Louis. Cleveland spanked Pittsburgh 11-0. Josh Naylor went deep, drove in 3. And the Giants in red stopped by rain, tied at 2, top 8 in Cincinnati. They'll finish at 5:40 Eastern today, then play their full game at 7:10. Congrats to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are your Vegas Summer League champs after thumping the Rockets 99-78. Isaiah Mobley, 28 points and 11 boards. College Poops, Jerry Stackhouse hiring Brad Calipari to his staff at Vanderbilt. Brad was just the director of player development at Pete's LIU under his dad's buddy, Rod Strickland.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Is that so?
That's some staff. Strickland and the younger Calipari?
Rod Strickland took over your basketball program and hired John Calipari's son?
Yes.
Wowie.
They stunk last year, though.
I think they only won like three games, right?
Right, but they have, this is his first year of his full recruiting class that he had.
Right.
So we'll see how they play this year.
And that's Division One?
Yeah, so yes. Remember, Pete's, that school combined with what you might remember as LIU Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
LIU Brooklyn was the basketball half of the equation, but I think everybody basically left when they made this merger. Mm-hmm. So this is a complete start from scratch job for Rod Strickland.
Pete, how does it feel to have an alma mater that literally the name doesn't exist anymore? Like, you went to a school and you can't say that school exists anymore.
I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
It's pretty horrible.
Like, what did they suggest? Like, do you say that you went to LIU now? How does that work?
Well, yeah, now they don't want any mention of Pioneers, which they were.
Right.
The CW Post Pioneers.
They don't want any mention of that. So all the colors are different now. They're the LA Charger colors.
Yeah.
Light blue and yellow.
Yes. Which I like the colors, but I also like the green. So I think it's pretty horrible.
And so, when you say, where'd you graduate from, your answer is?
It depends upon who I'm talking to.
Depends on the audience.
Yeah. If it's someone that employs me, LIU, and I'm doing it with a smile, and then if it's somebody I went to school with, we went to Post.
You know, it's like Warren Moon. He played for the Oilers.
Right.
Did I play for a team that doesn't exist anymore? Or do I play for the Titans? Am I a Titans Ring of Honor guy?
I think you're an Oiler. I think you're a Pioneer from Post. Yeah. I think it's kind of cool to exist from something that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. It reminds me, we used to make fun of Brian Jones during Gio and Jones because he was picked out of Texas in the eighth round by the Oakland Raiders. So he was picked by a round that no longer exists and by a team that was not in the same city anymore.
It's tough for Pete.
It's tough.
The degree, you know. Not what it used to be.
And the funny thing is, the plaque, not the plaque, the frame of my degree is broken.
And the metaphor is just it
broke around the time they changed the name. So a little bit of irony there. But yeah, I would like to see more acknowledgement of the past, of the history. I think look at the Nationals. Same thing with them. Like the Expos.
Yes.
You know, they
he went to the, that's a good one. He went to the Expos College, the Expos of universities.
But going to the, playing for the Expos was cool. Going to Post really wasn't.
Well, the other thing too, like
he's not Tim Wallach or Gary Carter or Andre Dawson.
Right. How about, technically is. He's in their Hall of Fame.
How about the numbers that are retired for the Expos? They're not retired for the Nationals.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We have hit on it. Pete is an Expo.
So Pete's no longer in the Hall of Fame. They've taken him out 2 years later.
No, he's still in it.
I'm still in it.
He's still in it.
Last little college football note. It was the Red River Shootout until 2005, then the Rivalry until 2014 when it switched to Showdown. The annual Texas-Oklahoma game is returning now to Rivalry.
Oh, really?
Which I don't like because Red River Rivalry is hard for me to say.
It is hard, but was there something unpolitically correct about Rivalry?
No, I believe so.
Red River Shootout.
Shootout they got like rid the of. Yes. Yeah. And then I believe the presenting sponsor preferred Showdown. So that's why it switched off of Rivalry. And now they've gone away from that company so they can go back to Rivalry.
That's amazing. Yeah. Pete, if you get into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame or the Radio Hall of Fame, do you go in with a Post or an LIU hat?
No,
or Odyssey or Entercom.
Blank cap.
Or Odyssey or Entercom.
Well, we could do a blank cap, right?
Or CBS. Yes. Who has a blank cap?
Maddox. I think Maddox does.
Maddox has a blank cap. Yes. Somebody's got a blank cap in the hall. Maybe Ricky? Now, Ricky's probably got an A's.
Ricky has everybody's hat on.
Oh, maybe Gary Carter.
No, he went in his Expo.
He did? Somebody's got a blank cap in there.
I think it's Maddox. That's my guess. It might be more than one, actually.
There is one, two, three, five.
Okay, who are the blank caps in Cooperstown?
Maddox is one.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm going to guess one. Dave Winfield.
No.
Winfield is...
No, Yankee? Four pitchers and a manager. The manager is La Russa.
That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Catfish Hunter.
And a Yankee.
Roy Halladay.
Okay. Blue Jay and a Philly. Yeah. But he was also... Did he get in posthumously?
Yes. 2019, yes.
So his family decided that. I wonder what he would have decided. Probably the same.
And this one I remember now, Mike Mussina.
Right, Mussina, Yankee, and Oriole.
Yes.
So what did Winfield go in as?
Yankee, I think. I think it was a Yankee.
I guess he spent the most time with the Yankees, but it's he had a weird career.
Yeah.
You don't think of him as a, quote, Yankee.
Well, but...
You're wrong. He did not go in as a Yankee.
Padre.
Padre. Which he probably only spent 5 years with the Padres, but it was his first team.
And Boggs went in as a Devil Ray. That's another question.
He did?
Yep.
Yes. You remember that? That's what started the
That's what started you don't get to choose.
Yes. Because the Devil Rays like paid him more money to go in as a Devil Ray.
Yeah.
So now you don't get to choose. The Hall of Fame chooses for you. So Halladay didn't choose that or his family.
It might be a collaboration.
Like the Hall of Fame might step in if it's ridiculous.
Because Boggs is a Devil Ray.
Which is just so insulting.
Awesome. Like if Mike Piazza went as a Marlin.
A Marlin. So, but I was watching a Rays game on, what's it called? What's the MLB at bat? What's it called? Like the league pass
MLB. TV.
MLB.TV. And he was on recently because I think they did some kind of giveaway.
It was 25 years of the Rays.
And they're doing what sounded to me like revisionist history. Like he grew up around there.
Yeah,
he wished he could have played there, but there wasn't a team. And then there was a team. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go back there. Mm-hmm. It means so much to play here. That's why I wanted to be a Ray in the Hall of Fame.
He should have went as a Red Sox automatically.
That's hysterically played two seasons at the end of his career. I'm a lifetime Ray. Lifetime Ray. When we come back here on the show, Brent Venables picking more fights. DA, CBS Sports Radio. All right, you can always watch the show on YouTube, on Twitch, and at watchda.com. Brent Venables had a year to assess his roster, and he told 94.7 FM that he did not clean house right off the bat like Dion did, and maybe that caused part of the reason why they were bad last year.
I gave guys 12 months of grace, and I was unlike Dion. I gave guys 12 months of grace to figure it out. Here's the three. You know, go to class, you know, live right off the field, and you show up over here, man, you show up with respect and appreciation for your opportunity. And if you go 0-3 for 12 months, you need a fresh start. So we help 21 guys, you know, give or take, you know, find a, you know, a fresh start. And that's what you know, reboot it. And we have 63 newcomers, 40 scholarships, 17 of those guys are transfers, and 9 of them are on defense. And I think that we've made ourselves better. That's the competitive depth I'm talking about.
So Brent Venables has now gone after Mario Cristobal and Deion Sanders, essentially by name. He didn't say Cristobal, but he cited two specific examples of what happened to the Miami Hurricanes last year. And Cristobal and him are engaged in a number of recruiting battles. And now he's going after Deion, saying, I didn't do what Deion did and clean house basically before I saw these guys. And on the one hand, I don't agree with specifying your rivals. I don't think that helps you, but it's certainly an interesting personality trait where he's going to name names or name programs and cite them as we're not like them or we're not doing this or we didn't do that. But I do tend to agree with this premise that Deion's been largely applauded for the sizzle of cleaning house and how compelling that story is. But for young men who are entering a new regime, entering a new head coach, they didn't get to choose that. They chose a school, perhaps for the head coach. The head coach is gone. I think they do deserve the chance to earn a spot in their scholarship. Those scholarships aren't guaranteed. And for Deion to just walk in and basically humiliate a bunch of guys, you're out of here, you're out of here, you're out of here, we don't want you, when those guys didn't have a chance to prove themselves, I do tend to agree with Venables' tactic there. When we come back, Le'Veon Bell apologizes to Steeler Nation. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this.
It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.